We want to talk this morning terms of the heart. Terms of the heart. We're going to begin reading in Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 17 through 27. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven. To come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "And who can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them, and Jesus looking upon them saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible."
Thank you, Jesus.
I want us to notice again, we want to notice several things in this passage of Scripture. I think that there's a lot in it. But I want to focus on terms of the heart this morning, and you're going to understand that as we go on. But I want us to think about, you know, most of the issues that we have in life, and I say that in problems, a lot of our problems are brought on as a result of what's inside our heart. Because it comes from the inside out. That's what focuses our life. You can generally tell what kind of person someone is on the inside by the actions that they show on the outside. And it all comes from the heart. So if we look at this verse of Scripture in verse 17, and we look at that again to begin, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Now here was this young man. We're told in Matthew that he was young, that he was rich. We're told in Luke that he was a ruler, so he's generally referred to as the rich young ruler. We know all of that by the story that is given in those three Gospels. He acted like a good follower. So here he is, he's young, he's healthy, he's rich, he's running, he's in good shape. He's in good physical condition, a good follower. He ran, he kneeled, he recognized who Jesus Christ was. He recognized him as someone who could teach him. But I want to tell you that there's something wrong with this picture. Because in reality, this rich young ruler had a heart condition. He had a heart condition. You see, first of all, he had heartburn. He had heard of Jesus and most likely had heard his teaching, and it gave him a burning within his heart. Heartburn. You remember in Luke 24:32, on the road to Emmaus, we had this sermon here a few weeks ago. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? So this rich young ruler did what any wise person would do when he was having heartburn that just won't go away. He sought a physician. He sought a physician. You see, he had heard about Jesus. His heart was burning, so he decided that he would go to the great physician. Now, all this heartburn had caused heartache. Heartache. He was lacking. He was empty inside. Because something was missing. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're empty and unfocused inside, it's because there is something missing. There is a place in your life and in your system. God created you in His image, so there's a spot that He made for Himself. That's how we were created. We were created with a spot for Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. And if that spot is empty, then your life is ultimately meaningless. And you're always going around searching for something that is going to give you an identity of feeling complete. But there is no way that you can feel complete unless that place is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this young man's plea when he came, because he came running to Jesus, he knelt down, he recognized who he was. He knew that there was a problem, there was an issue going on. How am I going to get it fixed? So you see, he came and his plea was heartfelt. He was serious about what he was doing. He was earnest. He wanted it all. You see, he didn't just want part of it. He wanted all. And if we're wanting it all spiritually, that's a good thing. But you see, that wasn't what he wanted. He wanted spiritual renewal, but he wanted to keep all of his physical stuff that he had as well.
Right.
He wanted to ride the fence. He wanted to have the best of both worlds. Now, nobody's saying here, or nothing's saying, or Jesus is not saying that it's bad to be rich. He's not saying that it's bad to have money. It's not bad to be successful. But absolutely what's bad about it is when you want to put that rich or that stuff ahead of God.
Amen.
And as we read forward in the story, we find out that that's exactly what he was doing. And we'll get into that. But we have to be willing to forsake all if necessary and follow Jesus Christ. That didn't mean that his emotion or his plea was not heartfelt. But the problem of it is he had heart disease. Now, heart disease is defined as a structural or functional abnormality of the heart or the blood vessel supplying a heart that impairs normal functioning. You see, he had an abnormal heart. It was abnormal. It wasn't where it was supposed to be. It was not working the way that it was supposed to be working. But he had a heart desire. One abnormality that he had in his heart was selfishness. You know that thing that says, I want what I want when I want it?
Yeah.
I'm rich. I'll buy it. Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? How much will it cost me? I can afford it. No, you can't. You can't buy it. It's not for sale. It's a free gift. Jesus said in verse 31, but there are many that are first shall be last, and the last first. I can still hear my New Testament professor in college saying that over and over and over. If you want to be first, You've got to be willing to be last. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 15:8, for people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you see that that's what this young man was doing? Matthew 15:18-19, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This young man was speaking what was in his heart. And if you listen to folks today speak what's in their heart. Note the deceit of the young man. First of all, he said, good master. Now, Jewish rabbis did not allow this, but he attempted to flatter Jesus. You know how some people succumb to flattery, but with Jesus, flattery gets you nowhere. He only takes what he deserves. By the way, he deserves it all. But he knows when we say, you know, even little things like, Lord, I love you, and if you're saying that is empty, you don't mean, he knows that. Because he knows what's in the heart. He knows where it's coming from. Matthew says, what good thing shall I do? You see, he wanted to earn or buy it. He would then have to always keep all the law if he was able to buy it. I said earlier you couldn't buy it. But the truth of it is if you were able to keep every jot and every tittle of the law, the two smallest Greek alphabet, if you were able to keep everything in the law, then yeah, you could probably earn your way with righteousness. But guess what? We can't do it. We can't keep it. Malcolm Smith says you can do the first nine. You can blindfold yourself, tie your feet and tie your arms, and you can maybe get by with the first nine. But he said the tenth one will get you every time. You can't even want to do 1-9. So you see, it's not just enough not to do it. We can't even want to do it. We're all sinners, folks.
Yes.
We're sinners. We've lost the battle. And there's no way that we can earn or buy our salvation. It is only by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice verses 18 and 19. I'll start with 18. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, Jesus was testing him. Why are you calling me good? There's nobody good but God. Now, Jesus was God. But he was testing this guy. He was not denying that he was God. He was saying, do you realize what you're saying, and are you willing to accept the responsibility that goes with the words that's coming out of your mouth? That's what really Jesus was saying to him. Hebrews 14:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus saw his heart. He looked at him. He saw right through him. He should have seen himself through the word as a sinner and should have been bowing before a holy God. That's how we should see ourselves. When we come to a holy God in prayer, we're coming as sinners. We're coming as unworthy. Mm-hmm. We're coming as undeserving. And we're coming before a righteous, holy God. But sometimes we march up there like we got nothing to be ashamed of. And we should be walking up and approaching God with our heads bowed and thinking of ourselves, Lord, we're not even fit to be in your presence. Jesus used the external here, things that showed the outside in verse 19. He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Well, in his heart, the young ruler may have thought that he had a chance. Well, yeah, I can do this. Give me a list. I can do it. I've done all those things. But the truth of it is if we look at our own lives, folks, I mean, have we ever told a lie? Then we're guilty. Mm-hmm. We have been condemned to death because we told a lie. For the wages of sin is death. That's our penalty. We're guilty. I mean, we look at our own life. It doesn't matter if it's the external. I mean, we may think to ourselves, yeah, I can get by without lying. I can get by without stealing. I can get by without committing adultery. But then remember, the Bible says you can't even want to. The Bible even says if you go so far as to look after a woman with lust in your heart, you're already guilty of adultery. We're guilty. But this rich young ruler says, I got this, God. I got it. It was all external. Jesus hadn't asked him the part about thou shalt have no other gods before me. So now say Jesus is going to move. The law is meant to condemn and show man their hopelessness. Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. God didn't give the law to save us. Amen. He gave the law to show us what scoundrels we were. Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The law can show us our sin, but it cannot save us. A mirror can show us our dirt, but it cannot clean us. So we go to verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. The ruler had here a heart block. That is a faulty transmission of impulses that control the heartbeat results in the lack of coordination and the contractions of the atria and ventricles of the heart. Sin had caused a heart block in this young man. There was no coordination between law and grace. He didn't know the difference. The lack of coordination was caused by a heart blackness. You see, sin causes blindness. It causes pride. It causes arrogance. The law should have allowed him to see his need, but he could not see because his pride had given him a swollen, arrogant heart. Let's read verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. See, that to me right there is amazing. See, God loves us while we're yet sinners. Amen. For God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes. He looks down at me and he sees what a rotten person I was. And he said, I love you anyway. Blows my mind. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now, the truth of it is, he had pulled at Jesus' heartstring. But Jesus took out his stethoscope, and he did a heart search, and listened to his heartbeat. The diagnosis was serious. Sin had caused a heart attack, and the only hope for this rich young ruler was a new heart. That was it. A new heart. You see, Jesus here in this scripture had moved from the external to the internal. He had moved from thou shalt not commit adultery, from thou shalt not, or thou shalt honor thy father. He had moved from all that. Now he's come into the internal. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, see. And Jesus says, well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can sell all you have. And take up your cross and follow me. Jesus had moved from the external to the internal. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is our treasure? Is our treasure our material possessions? Or is our treasure our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What is our treasure? Note verse 22, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now you see, we see that this man was heartbroken. Listen, I have to say, and you've heard this probably, preachers say it, but sin will take you further than you want to go and cost you more than you're willing to pay.
Amen.
Amen. In Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Folks, some people will sit in church services, service after service after service. And they get stirred. They get moved. They think to themselves somewhere along the way, I need to get this right. But when it comes time for the invitation, they sit there like a knot on a log. And nothing happens. And nothing changes. You see, they were almost ready to become a Christian. Almost ready to sell out everything, and I don't mean literally, and become a follower of Christ. They were almost ready to put Christ first in their life. Almost. And then one day they're not. But they almost made the decision. But when they stand in judgment, almost is not going to be good enough.
No.
Look at verses 23 through 26. And Jesus looked around and saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Listen, I want to tell you this morning, now it's time for a heart search. And I'm talking about each of us. See, it's time for each of us to do a search of our heart. Not just riches. God didn't say that money was here was bad. This could have been a different person with a different sin. God is eclectic in that kind of situation. He looks at things by an individual one-on-one case. Some people can be J.C. Penney. He was wealthy. What did he do? He started out giving a 10% tithe. And before you know it, he was given 90%. And living off 10. You see, so just because he was rich didn't mean that he was lost. Almost persuaded thou me to put God first. What do you have in your life that you're almost persuaded to put behind? Do we just act the part? Are we good? Are we an external Christian only? Or are we an internal Christian? Verse 27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Listen, this morning, give it all to Jesus.
Amen.
He can help you climb whatever mountain you have in your life. Mm-hmm. With Him, the impossible is possible. What do you have in your life going on that you want to quit? Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I could go through, and drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or, the litany goes on and on and on. What do you have that God has moved on your life that you need to give up? What are you willing to give up? Give it to Jesus. Whatever it is, give it to Jesus. Do you want to inherit eternal life? Or is it just out of curiosity or fear or guilt? Or is it out of need? Folks, I have a need for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We all have a need for Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can straighten out our lives. Let me share a story with you. True story. This is a story my friend told me about himself. And this is what he told me. He said, as a boy, I accepted Jesus Christ through curiosity. As a teen, I heard a sermon on hell and it frightened me. As a young man, I felt guilt for not living right. Then I recognized my need in a pawn shop while buying a gun to blow my brains out. You see, he had reached spiritual bankruptcy. That's when he came to realize his need for Jesus Christ. I can tell you that's a true story. That's my friend. He's like my son. And that happened to him. And he said, I was standing in that pawn shop. And I went to the pawn shop to buy a gun to kill myself. Mm. He had lost everything he had. His wife left him, took his kids. They hired an expensive attorney, took everything he had. He was left penniless. He felt hopeless. And he was just going to end his life. And God spoke to him. God speaking to you this morning. It's time for the ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. I mean, we've established the fact we're all sinners. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that Jesus Christ can lift you up out of the pit. Because we're like a little spider dangling over the flames. And see, we confess and commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. You see, that's really salvation in a nutshell. Admit, believe, confess. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, it's that simple. Jesus Christ wants to make whatever is wrong in our heart right.
Amen.
It may not be salvation. It may be just that, you know, you've gotten away from God. You know, things of the world, things of life have just slowly deteriorated, and, you know, you've been out, and pretty soon it's easy not to be in a relationship with Jesus, and, you know, your prayer life slowed down, your Bible reading slowed down, your church attendance slowed down, you just are away from God. I'm not even saying you're lost. But we've all been there. I've been there. When people would come to me and invite me to church, and I'd say, man, I can't deal with my problems right now. How could I deal with God? But God, they tell me, but God called you for a purpose. Marty and Marcy, I can hear them today. Come to that restaurant I was operating, sit down at the counter and say, but God loves you. I can't deal with God. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has something for you to do. Until I got it right. In my little upstairs apartment with a bedroom that was big enough for my bed. And I come home one night and I've been doing some things that I shouldn't have been doing. And I turned on the TV and the PTO club was playing or something, one of those things. But whoever was on it spoke a word. I said, God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And I went in my little room and I was arrogant and I was prideful. And I knelt down on the side of my bed and I said, God, I'm tired of playing around. If you're real, show me. Prove it to me. And I felt the Spirit of God in that room, and I knew that if I opened my eyes, I'd see God, and I was scared to death. I had never been more frightened in my life. Because I knew that I would see God. And folks, we're talking about 6 years here now, sinful living, as a Christian. And I finally got enough courage to open my eyes and I left. And the next morning I packed my stuff and I went home to my mother's house. Now I was an adult. I was a grown male. And I went home to my mother's house and the Sunday morning I was church. And I walked and I got it right with God and I've never looked back since.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Now have I been perfect since? No. I've not been perfect since. I've had times in my life where Satan has been fighting against me and I felt like I was in a vacuum. And I didn't want to go too far toward Satan because I was afraid I'd disappoint Jesus. And I didn't want to go too far toward Jesus because I was afraid Satan would beat me up. And I felt like I was just like this. I was going through the motions. I was going to church. But that's about it. And I had to stand up. I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. I had to stand up and say, Satan, you'll not defeat me. You'll not defeat me. You'll not defeat me. And I look back at it now and it's kind of funny. Oh, like a grown man doing that. Kind of silly. But I'm in it. Because I know that with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And He walked with me through that valley. And He got me through to the other side. And He's used me in spite of the fact that people said, God can never use you. You know, God's done with you.
Yep.
God's got a plan for your life. I'm here to tell you today. God's got a plan for your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're going through. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And all I ask you to do this morning is to recognize that fact. Wherever you're at. We're going to have a hymn of invitation, just music. She may have somebody singing, she's got one. Maybe somebody's singing with it, I don't know. But we're just all going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And we're going to listen to what God is asking us to do right now. And we're going to be obedient. If He's telling us to come to the altar and pray, then that's what we're going to do. If He's telling us that if you need me to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you need to, if you need salvation this morning, if you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know that you don't have a relationship, you may have played the game, but you say, this morning something's wrong, I must not be right. Don't leave today and get it. You listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here and you're backslidden if you need to get it right. Whatever you need this morning, you be obedient. As we bow our head and close our eyes. Last verse. Thank you so much for your attention. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the words that you have given us. Father, we pray that you would work. Lord, this is your church. These are your people. This is your business. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today.